voice of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, to provide you with the very finest in talk radio entertainment. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show. We have podcasts of each show available. We have archives that go back over a decade of full radio shows. You will not find a radio show or radio station website anywhere on the face of the earth with an archive the size of ours, if you'll pardon me about, you know, talking about size. But the fact of the matter is, no one can match ours at all. Let them whip it out. So the archive that we have, we're very proud of, because we're very proud of the radio show that we do, and we have full three-hour shows. There's nobody out there that does that, nobody out there that can match it, no one out there that would dare match it, because they just ain't got the material. So when you get a subscription to our website, you're getting every penny's worth. When you get a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, you're getting every penny's worth. And we're talking about full three-hour shows going back over a decade. That comes out to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of a radio show that has been talked up and admired by people like Rush Limbaugh, that has been talked up and admired by people like Glenn Beck, that has been talked up and admired by people like Howard Stern, that has been talked up and admired by Clint Eastwood. I mean, I'm not dropping names. This is a fact, man. Not that Clint Eastwood...
Do you even listen to radio anymore?
You probably can't even get... I'm kidding around. I shouldn't say that. But the fact is, the show is a great show, and we've got the hours and hours and hours and hours of great radio to prove it. So go over to our website, get a backstage pass, and I'll tell you something right now. You know, there's all kinds of people who want your money. There's no question about it. You know, our monthly is less than what Sirius is stealing. Our monthly is less than what a lot of these sites steal. And we give you far more. Far, far more for the dollar. So quit screwing around and throwing your money away. And get a backstage pass to our website. Check out our shop. And take a look at all of the merchandise that we have to offer. Look at our news feed. You can see that it's uncensored. We got all kinds of crybabies that get on there. There are all kinds of people. We don't censor it. Everybody gets on there and bitches and pisses and moans. And then we have people that love the show. And then we have people that are looking for information. Then we have this, that, all kinds of stuff happening over there. And then we have a lot of extras like the Hendry Family home movies. So you're looking at home movies shot by my father between the years 1945 and 1982. So you've got that. You've got a peek in right into the dysfunctional life of the Hendry family.
Yay!
Thank you. Like that, bud, huh?
That's great.
I mean, I can't even think of it. There's so much stuff. We got webisodes, animated webisodes done by Stephen White. So if you want to keep throwing your money away on all of these jive-ass radio subscription, firewall, this, that, somebody, everybody's looking for your dollar. Ours is worth it, man. Worth it. Phil Hendry Show, backstage pass. Check it out. All right. Don Berman is going to be joining us here this hour to talk about, I think this is a fascinating topic. It has to do with whether or not the voters, the electorate, the citizens, the people, folks that are talked to when they're coming out of that polling place, are they telling the truth? Are they telling the truth? Are they actually telling the truth when they are interviewed by those exit pollers? And from the Channel 19 newsroom, it is Don Berman. How are you this evening, Don?
Well, I'm very well, and thank you. I think you'll find it interesting what we came up with, because it's not often that you announce a special and then you have to go to your editor, you have to go to your manager, the managing desk in the newsroom, and say, I think we're going to have to cancel this. But it is a fascinating story indeed.
You have to cancel this particular report that you're going to do?
We may have to cancel the report. And that in and of itself is a story. So I've been talking to Rich Sugarman, who is our managing editor, and saying, you know, we've got something even better. We have the truth. And
Let's back up and get people some idea of what you're talking about. You are discussing the truthfulness of exit polls.
Yeah. we every election, Phil, your audience knows, and I do, and you do, every election we are looking at the big network talking heads, and they are telling us, well, based on our exit polling, this, that, this, and that. We find this from all of the TV networks that we watch. We find it from the cable news channels, and we certainly do see it even now in our local reporting. We do it here in Los Angeles when we're covering the countywide races, or we're covering the citywide races. Over the last 30 days, I went out along with Donna DeCarver, along with many of the news assistants and our production assistant, Billy Wells, and we went out and we had asked people, and primarily men, some very specific questions. And it was based upon my own personal experience. As a man, and it could be true of you, Phil, I don't know, but as a man, I've been a single man. I wasn't married throughout my adult life. I've been single in stretches of significant numbers of years, 5 years. Right now, I've been single for the last 7 years. And you find yourself doing a lot of really crazy things in order to be with a woman intimately. And
so this is going to have to do with voting, right?
It has to do with voting, but it's coming at it from a different direction. I have found myself in my life doing some pretty embarrassing things. I found myself in my life doing some pretty disgraceful things in order to be with a woman sexually.
You want to give us an example?
Well, no, I don't think I need to give you an example, because if you think honestly about it, you will come up with some yourself in your own life. So, and I don't want you to, but I want you to just hold that question. I am representative of a lot of men, most adult men. And we're talking about adult men, heterosexual men. I'm talking about women, but although I'm sure it's true of gay men. But I have done some things that have made me ashamed to be with a woman.
It has made you ashamed to be with a woman?
No, it has made me ashamed. I've done things that have made me ashamed in order for me to be with a woman.
So in other words, to impress a woman...
to impress her, to get her phone, to actually get into bed with her. And again, if you think about it, Phil, you know it's true in your own life. And I'm not... This is not a judgment on your character. Well, we went out last month, and we went to men in the city of Los Angeles, on the street, in shopping malls, in coffee shops, in restaurants, even here in our own newsroom, and we asked them what is the most depraved or the most embarrassing, the most disgusting thing that you've ever done in order to be intimate with a woman, in order to get into a woman's bed. And what we found out was revealing. Almost, I would say, 80 to 85% of these men said, I've never done anything like that. I've never really had to do that. I've never debased myself in any way. Now, that is a bald-faced lie.
And how do you know that?
How do I know it? As I said, Phil, if you think honestly about this, you know for a fact that you yourself have done some pretty vile and disgusting things in order to work your way into a woman's bed.
And well, you know what? I mean, you're right. I'm going to have to sit down and think about it, because nothing really is happening off the top of my head.
Well, when we were asking these questions, we gave people the chance to answer. We said, think about it. Think, what have you done? I know, in my life I have, and there's no way that I interview, and what was our control group, Mary? Was what? 2,500 men. There's no way that 80 to 85% of them said, I can't think of anything, or I never did anything that debased or disgraceful. That is a lie, and that, Phil, is an example of what we're getting in exit polling. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the question's very different. You're asking men, what vile and disgusting thing have you done in order to get into bed with a woman? That's the one.
Yeah.
But then the exit poll questions are, who'd you vote for? Now, don't you think that one is asking for relatively easy information and the other is not?
No, not at all. But beyond that, All we're asking for is some truthfulness. And if it's so difficult for a person to be truthful when you ask them about something that is has got to be true, I refuse to believe, Phil, that I'm the only man in America that has debased himself and has done things that I wouldn't tell. I'm not the only one, and there's no way that I am the only one. And that's what really, I originally got very angry about it. And then I started to laugh. Then I realized what was going on, and I remember that Billy Wells and some of the people were looking at me as if there was something wrong with me. I started to laugh. I said, you've got to understand what's going on here. These guys are afraid to be honest. And I said, I tell you what we got is a news story, and it's about the truthfulness of people in exit polling. You get that? And if it, yeah. It's the truthfulness of people in exit polling.
Well, is it not a leap to say if someone's not being honest when you're asking them a question about their sex life? Is it not a leap to say that they therefore are going to be dishonest when you're asking them questions?
No, not at all. Why is that a leap? They're both highly guarded areas of our lives. The vote, as we've been told time and again, is it's a private vote. We have the right to the private vote in America and a secret ballot. And the other question has to do, obviously, with one's intimacy. What kind of depths are you willing to sink to become intimate with a woman? And when I ask that question of men, and
Well, isn't it a really personal question?
It's not a personal question if you just say, you know, what depths have you sunk to? And they give you, I didn't want the details. I just wanted to know how low they'd gone.
You're making an assumption that men have gone to the depths of depravity in order to be intimate with a woman. And you're just saying that that happened.
I'm telling you, yes, it has happened. Yes. I'm not the only one. I'm not one of these people that says, oh, gee, maybe I'm the only one. No, I'm not. I swear to God, I'll bet you any amount of money you've got that those 85% were lying through their teeth. And that's why when you look at these exit polls, that's what they're doing as well.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Hold on for a minute, Don. I just put him on hold. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking here to Don Berman tonight about exit polling. Are people telling the truth when they are asked as they come out of the polling booth, who did you vote for? Are they telling the truth or are they lying? Don has found in some polling that he's done on men and their sexual habits that he feels 85% of these men are lying, and so therefore they must be lying when they come out of these polling places. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Don Berman. We'll be back with more when we come back. I still think he's making a big leap here.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and talking to Don tonight about people being truthful in exit polls, people being truthful in the way they answer exit polls. And I've long suspected, Don, that people fudge the truth, if you want to call it that. You know, you use the stronger word lie, and that's just as true.
It absolutely is a lie. And the reason why I think it's a lie, Phil, is if you are fudging the truth, as you say, with the answer you give to someone who's conducting an exit poll, what you're really doing is you're giving faulty information in a very vital area. If you don't want to answer the question, I think that's one thing. But if you answer in a false way, then you're distorting information that we really desperately need. When I went out and I asked men, can you tell me, and I hear what you're saying about it being personal, but these are men, and men generally are going to talk straight to other men. And I even said to these men that I had done some pretty vile things in order for me to be intimate with a woman. I've told lies. And I've places I don't want to go with you on the air, but I said to these guys, thinking that this would prompt them to be honest with me. And do you want to know what happened?
They were not honest with you.
They were not honest with me.
Give me an example of the kind of answer you got.
Well, when I said to these men, the question was basically, can you tell me the lowest you've sunk morally in order for you to be intimate with a woman, to have sex with a woman? And the answer that we got most often than not was they said something like, I told her that I had condoms and I didn't. Now, that is pretty weak.
Well, it's still kind of a significant...
Well, it's not that significant in terms of... Well, I had just gotten done telling these guys some pretty disgusting things, and I said, this is what I've done. This is where I've gone. This is what I... And I'm a news anchor. I'm a well-known individual in the Los Angeles market and nationally, because I've done some national reporting. And I was forthcoming with them, and I said, I've been honest with you. I've told you what I did. I've done some things that were pretty horrible in order to be in bed with a woman. And you guys are saying to me, well, the worst thing you ever did was you told her you thought maybe you had condoms, and it turned out you didn't. And they would sort of give you that half smile and nod, like, uh-huh. So it was then that I went back to the office, and I wasn't feeling too good for a couple of days. But I thought on it, and I thought on it, and I thought on it. I went home, and, you know, there was a pretty low period there. But I finally came back to the office, and I said to you, Billy, I said, you know what this is about? This is about how people lie when they take exit polls.
Let's look at the other side. Well, we'll get to a phone call here, but let's look at the other side of this. The possibility that they're not lying, that they're telling the truth.
That's impossible. I'll bet you any amount of money you've got. Any amount of money that you've got.
Well, that's not scientific. If you say, well, that's impossible, you have to have some...
No, I'm telling you, I'll bet you any amount of money that you've got that's impossible. No guy that I talk to, men, don't tell me that they haven't done some disgusting things in order to get in bed with a woman. It's impossible. And
All right, hold on. Let's get to a phone call here. We got Charlie talking to us here tonight. Charlie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman. Go ahead.
Hello, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Mr. Berman, I have not had the pleasure of watching you on television. But my understanding is you're a news anchor. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And you're out and you're telling people that you have done some, what you call these disgusting things to have sex with a woman.
Yes, sir. That was all covered in the interview, the pre-interview I did with Mr. Hendry. Do you have a comment you want to make?
Yes, I do have a comment I want to make. The comment that I want to make is, if you're saying that you've done, I've been married 37 years.
And you're going to tell me you never did anything disgusting to get into bed with your wife?
No, I did not do anything disgusting to get into bed with my wife. No, I did not.
And
you're going to call me a liar.
Well, yes, sir, I am calling you a liar. And here is the thing. I don't mean you're a liar in a bad way.
I see. What when you call me a liar, what do you mean it then?
Well, in other words, I'm not calling into question the quality of man you are, but I'm just saying in order for you to get into bed with the woman that you've been married to for 37 years, and I would ask you this, is the sex that good?
You know, you are asking some questions.
Don, that's not appropriate.
Well, I don't know why.
You're asking some questions that, are, as Mr. Hendry indicated, it's far from appropriate about whether the sex is good. I love my wife very much, and our intimate life is great. And
all right, well, there's a lie.
I beg your pardon, sir? You're calling that a lie?
Yes, I am calling that a lie. You know that you're lying through your teeth. Because no man's life after 37 years, his sex life with his wife is good.
And, well, you know what? The only dishonesty, Mr. Berman, that's been going on here is your dishonesty with Mr. Hendry and the audience tonight. Because you're saying that you can bet any amount of money. That is, Mr. Hendry indicated, that's not proof.
I'll bet you any amount of money you got. I know you're, well...
Why can you not believe this man?
Who am I talking with?
Phil.
Oh, my God.
Was that you, Mr. Henry? Because I heard it.
I heard a very high-pitched squealing. And
that was my voice. I'm asking you a good question. Why will you not believe this man?
Because it's impossible for a man to say, I've never sunk to the depths of moral depravity in order to get into bed with a woman. It's impossible.
I am here to tell you...
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman and his exit poll conundrum.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Don Berman from Channel 19 News here tonight as we discuss this idea of exit polling and whether or not the voters are truthful that you've been trying to tie, Don, to this question of morality.
And it's frustrating, if I could jump in.
Well, let me just bring my audience up to the present point here. You have tied the question that you asked men...
Yes, right. The question I asked men, if I could...
Go ahead.
...is what kind of morally depraved act, what kind of moral depravity, what kind of low and base... And if you want to use the word disgusting, we can use that. But what have you been willing to do and what have you done... in order to induce a woman to get into bed with you?
See, first of all, that's a question that I find. What woman would get into bed with a guy who has conducted himself in a morally depraved way?
Well, that's what you're missing. I'm not going to the woman and saying, hey, can I conduct a morally depraved act? She doesn't know.
So it's dishonest.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Billy. Yes, Billy. Billy Wells, Phil.
The example you're giving...
Hold on. Slow down.
The example you're giving is so...
So what?
So it's not related to what you're talking about.
We're talking about whether people are truthful or not. Henry doesn't understand it.
You know, you don't have to talk to Billy Wells, whoever he is. You can talk to me.
Billy Wells is one of the best editors in the business. Is that right, Billy? He's just screwing around. I'm sorry.
Would you mind?
I apologize.
So what we're talking about here is whether those questions relate. Now, the exit poll question is one that, you know, you haven't really asked other than to, well, if these guys are lying about their sexual habits...
Not their sex. Yeah, in a way it is. It's asking, what moral depredation have you involved yourself with in order to have sex with a woman? Gee, I haven't done anything like that. I take that information, extrapolate from that they're lying through their teeth, they're liars, and that's what we go on the air with. I think it's a very sound report.
All right, 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Bobby on the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby, how you doing tonight?
Oh, hi, Phil. Steve is Steve, my husband. And is Mr. Berman?
Don Berman here, yes.
Yes, I'm with my husband. We were asking this question, and obviously Steve and I were discussing this. He's my husband, but he was never dishonest with me. But he does have something that you think it qualifies, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's probably moral depraved.
He considers it to be moral depravity. At the time, I did too.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that he was honest? Was this about the two of you?
Yes, it was when we were dating.
And I'm assuming you're married?
I did.
That's her husband, Steve Dooley.
I don't know these people. I'm married to her.
Mr. Henry knows who we are. We're regular guests. We're probably more regular guests than you are, and I don't say that to lord it over you.
All right, fine. Good for you. You know, ding, ding for you.
But I didn't say it to say ding, ding for me.
All right, well, let's just move on with this. So Steve called in with an example.
Yeah, but before we... is that Steve? Mr. Dooley, is that you? Yeah, I'm right here. Talk about it. All right, so this gentleman, Ms. Dooley, is your husband, and he conducted himself in a morally depraved way, but you're telling me you knew about it.
Well, yes. In other words, he was not dishonest, and that might be why you're having a hard time with this, because I don't know that it's not so much that men are not morally, if you want to call it that, depraved. It's that they're not dishonest about it.
Now, what did you do, Mr. Dooley? What did you do? What act of moral depravity? But at the top of the store, got the liquid butter. I can't hear the man. Why is he not?
I'll do it because I speak for the two of us, really. When we called in, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to have Steve on the air.
Ms. Dooley is the president of her homeowners association.
The what?
She's the president of her homeowners association.
All right, so she's the president of her homeowners association. Big deal. Does that give her the right to insult me and say, I'm on the show more often than you?
Well, you insulted me when you went ding ding for me. You know,
well, I don't understand what any of this has to do.
Wait, the man answered your question. Did you not have a question?
Yes, I want to know what depravity.
Well, Steve just answered. Steve, say it again.
I got out liquid butter, but I pulled over.
Steve pulled over for liquid butter.
Steve pulled over for liquid butter. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Well, it was on our first date. When I went by a Vons, I pulled over.
On our very first date together, when we had gone out, we went to, where were we, Steve?
On
the Blue Oyster Priest concert.
The Blue Oyster Priest concert?
Yeah.
You mean Blue Oyster Cult?
No, it was the what?
Black Priest?
You mean Judas Priest?
Yeah, it was the Judas Priest show. It was at the Universal Amphitheater. That's where we went.
Okay, so now that we have that...
All right, enough about the priest or the Judas. What are you talking about when you said you pulled over for butter? I didn't pull over butter, but on the liquid butter. I can't understand that.
You know what, Mr. Dooley, if you're going to do the talking...
I'll do the talking, Steve. Give me the phone.
That's all I'm talking about.
Give me the phone. Steve pulled off to a Vons. We'd been talking, and he said, well, if you really want to, I've got to pull over for liquid butter.
Oh, I get it. All right. Well, I mean, I don't know if you call that moral depravity so much as... You haven't ever done it yourself? No woman's never... She's never allowed me. Yeah.
Well, too bad for you.
Yeah, too bad for you. Oh, really? You're trying to tease me with this now?
Look, I don't want to get any further into this discussion if you don't mind. So there's an example of a guy who engaged in some kind of moral depravity.
I wouldn't call that the depths of moral depravity.
At the time, it was for me.
You bet it was. Why, she sucked. It wasn't so much me, it's my body. What did you say?
He said it wasn't so much sinking to the depths of moral depravity for him as it was him taking me there.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, wow, I'm all of a sudden getting turned on.
Oh, my God.
Get out there. Stop that. I'm sorry.
All right, you know what? We don't need to hear about that. I thank you very much, Ms. Dooley.
Well, first of all, he insulted me very much.
What I was saying there, Billy.
Okay, are you with me?
Am I with you? What, did I pass out?
Let me just say one thing to you, Don. We're taking phone calls, okay?
Hold on for a minute. Do you hear that one, Billy? Do you get on tape? I got Billy tape on the show. I hope you don't mind.
Well, yeah, I do.
For news gathering purposes.
All right.
And I wanted to make sure Billy got that whole conversation about the... Damn.
All right, I want to say something to you. You talking about how turned on you're getting is not advancing this conversation at all.
Is that on the air?
Yes, it was on the air.
Well, why didn't you dump it?
Why am I going to dump it?
Because it's me. Oh, my God. Why didn't you dump that out? I'm a news anchor on a major television station in Los Angeles, and you didn't dump out me saying that I was getting turned on by the fact that a woman had been wrenched to the depths of moral depravity. I got to hang up.
Okay, so he had. You know, so there's Don Berman panicking again.
What did you do?
He got panicky over the fact that he was talking to me about his sex life. For all, you know, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. If you want to come on the program and you want to broach the subject yourself, you can do that. But then don't start screaming at me because I didn't dump this, that, or something else. We have Ms. Dooley back. Ms. Dooley?
Yes, Phil. I'm sorry, but I have never, ever been spoken to in quite that way.
We're talking about Don Berman is hung up.
No, I'm not talking about Don Berman. I'm talking about my husband, Steve. And
your husband, Steve?
Yes. I had to kick him out of the car. I have never had a man come on a live radio show and talk about grabbing me by the hair and pulling me to the lower depths of depravity.
Well, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't. That's your husband talking.
I understand that.
Was he telling the truth?
Yes, he was, but that's not his job.
Where is he? You've kicked him out of the car.
I did kick him, but I'm I feel that I need to turn around. I kicked him out of the car. The car was moving.
The car was moving?
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute, Bobby, okay?
Phil, I am so...
Bud, what do you got?
We were taping it in the audition channel. She didn't know, but she had a conversation with her husband. And I was like, we had to tape it.
You have a tape of what?
We got a tape of her kicking him out of the car.
Well, I don't know, man. Maybe it's not legal, huh?
It is newsworthy.
Yeah, you always said, man, if it has a public interest or something like that.
Yeah, if there is a public, if there is a compelling public interest. All right, play it. Have you got it racked up?
Yeah, rack it up now.
You're going to hear them. They're going to be talking. It won't sound like nothing, but they're going to be talking in the background.
What's that?
I said, well, my dad was on the talking in the background.
Whatever. Go ahead. Roll it.
No, you did, Steve. Talking about liquid butter. Good God Almighty. Do you have to...
You said I could.
I said that you could, Steve. I didn't ask you to tell everyone that I was wrenched to the depths of depravity. You know, you sicken me, Steve. You sicken me a lot.
Hey, buddy. Let's just chill out, okay? It's your world, babe. Your world, boss. I'm just picking grapes in it. And another thing,
I'm kicking you out of the car.
Wait a minute. Ah!
What is that?
We think it was his cell phone.
Yeah, we think they were on his cell phone. She kicked him out.
Wow, that's... get Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley?
Yes?
We do have tape of you kicking your husband out of the car.
You have that on tape?
Yes, we do, ma'am.
Is there anything on that tape that can give you some indication as to where we were?
No, ma'am, there isn't.
Because I've turned around and I'm going down. I'm going back northbound on the 5. I don't see him anywhere.
Well, where were you?
I don't know. I have no idea. Why should I know that?
Are you driving?
I guess I am driving, Phil, if I kicked him out of the car.
Wow.
Woo! Boy, you... Phi Beta Kappa all the...
I don't give a damn, you know?
Yeah, but she's looking for her husband.
I don't care. I don't care if she never finds him. How about that? We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Bobby and Steve Dooley and our News and Information Hour coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah!
Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and coming up next hour, Bob Green from Fraser Foods is going to check back in with us tonight on the Mega Millions jackpot. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have bought tickets or what.
Yeah, I heard all about it. You're probably going to get one.
I got a couple. And my aunt got one, too.
Your aunt Mavis?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk with Bob Green about the Mega Millions jackpot and the selling of these tickets and what it means to his business there at Fraser Foods in Buena Park and across the across the whole United States with the retailers everywhere, seeing the kind of business that you get when these things get hot. There's $500 million. I can tell you this. I say this with the greatest honesty. Whoever wins it, I wish you the very best. I hope you do something really good with that much money. There's a lot of good you can do with $500 million.
You can buy the Dodgers.
No, you'd need $2 billion to buy. We just saw that $2 billion. But you could buy I'll tell you what you could buy with $500 million. You could buy a nice position with the Dodgers.
What do you mean by that?
A position. That's a financial term meaning you could buy a part ownership in it.
No, it sounded like you're talking about, you know, sitting on it.
You shut up, bud, and turning everything dirty, okay?
You don't talk about liquid butter.
I didn't talk about liquid butter. That woman did. I know what you mean, bud, okay? So in any event, you know, for $500 million, though, I tell you what you could buy. You could buy that parking. You know how they spent, what they spend on that? They spent $150 million. Frank McCourt, and I guess Frank McCourt's holding on to a piece of that. So I should say, as these so-called affiliates of the Dodger buyers purchased the, in consort with Frank McCourt, or in tandem with him, they bought the parking around the stadium for $150 million. That's the land, and it's valuable land. As a matter of fact, they have an Elysian Park there, which is near Dodger Stadium. If you see the parking lot, Elysian Park is the larger area, and there's a big National Guard armory there. There is the training center for the L.A. County Fire Department.
That's when I saw those guys jogging that time.
That's right, because just a little bit of inside Hollywood. When we were filming, or when I was filming my little scene there in Semi-Pro, with
Will Ferrell and Woody Harrelson, and you weren't cut out because they had...
All right, I got it, bud. Okay, thanks. In any event, we filmed the basketball scenes there at that basketball gym in the armory there near the L.A. County Fire Training Center. So it was interesting because we had the entire parking lot there at that particular facility. It was pretty much the parking for the cast and the crew, and then they had the trailers and they had the food and everything, and then they were shooting inside the gym there. But as we were working, and you'd go inside and they would shoot, and then you'd come outside. In those days, I was smoking, so I was going back and forth outside smoking a cigarette. You saw the fire department trainees, and I don't know if they were trainees or maybe they were regular fire department guys that were just maybe looking to step up in class, training for some other aspect of firefighting. But you saw them coming out in a line, jogging up this hill. I mean, they were doing some brutal kinds of training. They were going up the side of this hill and coming back down, and they go back inside. Everywhere they went, they were running.
Right over there near Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, right near Dodger Stadium is the fire department. So we're not talking about anybody owning that, but it's all that land there. And there's, like I said, there's a pretty prime piece of park, Elysian Park, where folks go. It's really beautiful. There's a lot of the eucalyptus trees there. And if you've ever smelled eucalyptus, it's very much like...
Mr. Baum.
Yeah, David?
Yeah, you gotta wrap this up or...
Am I going to wrap up what?
I had to call Mr. Hall because of the eucalyptus.
You're going on about eucalyptus trees. That starts to get...
Wait a second. Just hold on for just a second here. I was talking about being in that movie Semi-Pro and...
Oh, that part was interesting. I was loving that. And Bud gave me the high sign that you were doing good. And
I'm going to talk to you about this thing you got with Bud, huh?
It ain't gay or nothing.
What do you mean, the thing I got with Bud?
I'm not saying it's gay. I mean him reporting directly to you. That's going to end.
Oh, come on, Phil.
No, that's ending. He works for me. So he's not talking to you. He's not going to be getting any information from you or for you.
Look, I got to know what's going on over there.
I got a great idea. How about turning the radio on?
Oh, really? Turn the radio on. That's a great idea. Oh, wait a second. There's one problem with turning the radio on. I can't hear what you're talking about during the commercial.
Well, why do you need to know that?
Because, Phil, I got to know whether, you're going to pull something that's going to destroy another advertiser for us.
I haven't done anything to destroy advertisers, and I don't need you talking that way on the air. Last night, you called me up and ripped me an ass in front of everybody because of the muted audio.
Right, and you needed it.
Okay, I needed it. Tonight, I don't need to hear this.
All I'm telling you is, when you go on, let me just say this, okay? It's good. What I'm going to say is good.
Go ahead.
I thought it was fascinating what you were saying about the movie with Will Ferrell. That was great. And it was fascinating what you were saying about the about Dodger Stadium. When you started talking about the eucalyptus trees, it began... How do I say it?
Fuck, it didn't sound manly.
It wasn't sounding manly.
I think Bud here, your good buddy, already said it sounded gay.
I don't mean that in a homophobic
way?
Right.
Yes, of course you do.
No, I do not. No, I do not.
That's why that word is just so comfortable for you. I'm sure you've discussed these issues many times.
Look, Phil, don't turn me into some kind of a bigot or a homophob. I don't know.
Homophob.
It's not homophob.
I didn't say homophob.
It's homophobe. okay? And because I'm talking about eucalyptus trees, it happens to be a distinctive, it's very distinctive when you drive your car through there. You can smell the eucalyptus trees.
Well, isn't that nice?
Okay. Okay.
You did pretty funny.
Don't tell me. I smell eucalyptus trees.
Think it's funny, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You gotta admit it.
Well, I don't think it is.
Now, we're talking about the eucalyptus tree, man. You sound like you're a member of some ladies' flower club or something.
Boy, you guys are really weird, man. You mean you can't talk about trees and flowers without sounding like I belong to a ladies' flower club?
You do.
Oh, but you can and you sound fine.
I think I sound fine if I talk about a eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus. I'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Shut up. I'm gonna kick somebody's ass. I mean it.
Phil Hendry.